Today's year in the Daf Yomi is Daf Chav Zayin in Bava Metzia. We are beginning at the Mishnah, a few lines from the beginning of the top of Chav Zayin or Aleph. We're learning today Le'il Nishmas Zalman Yosef Nilch, my wife's grandfather. He was a very special man. He was Shomer Shabbos living in America during very difficult times of the Depression and raised a family that was Shomer Torah Mitzvos. His Neshama Shev and Aliyah from our learning. We also continue to learn for the success and safety of all the Chayilei Tzva Haganah Yisrael. They should be successful in everything that they do. They should bring back the Chatufim b'mehera in good health. And b'yeses Hashem, all those in need of refuah shleimah should have one b'mehera. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be shomer on all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we begin at the Mishnah, 6-7 lines down from the top, Chol Zayin Amud Aleph. Now, we have a pasuk. We'll start first off reading two psukim, because they are critical to understanding the Mishnah and the Gemara that follows. So the first pasuk tells us, Lo sira es shor ochicha o es seyo nidochim. You should not look at your brother's either shor or his seh, his ox or his sheep, that they are gone away from the owner, and don't ignore them. V'salam to mehem. If you see them, don't ignore them. Return them. Hoshev tishivim liochicha. Now, this pasuk specifically mentions shor and seh. The next pasuk, not directly, after it's two pasukim later, tells us, likewise, for this aveda, v'chein ta'aseh l'chamoro, v'chein ta'aseh l'sim l'so. So too you shall do if you find your friend's chamor or your friend's simla, his garment, either his donkey or his garment, and then it gives v'chein ta'aseh l'chol avedas ochicha, and so shall you do to any lost item of your ochicha, meaning somebody who is a yid like you. Asher tova mimenu, if it's lost from him, umisasa, and you find it, some seemingly extra words in the pasuk, lo suchal l'salim. Again, it tells us, don't look away. You have to go and return it to the owner. Now, these two psukim are the basis for our Mishnah and the Gemara today. So, the Mishnah starts off, af hasimlo haisa b'chlal kolelu. Rashi explains that this is, the Gemara is going to discuss this, but he points out in the Rashi's on the Gemara that it was included in the concept of all of your avedos. You're not allowed to go and ignore all of these avedos. So it was mentioned in general. So why did it have to mention specifically the four things? So our Mishnah is only talking about Simla right now because that's the focus of our Mishnah. But then it's going to ask us, why do we have to mention over here first Shor and then Seh and then Chamor and then Simla? When it tells us, all of them. So, af ha-simlo ha-iso b'chlal kol elu. It was included in all of the things that you have to go and return. Why was it specifically mentioned? The law miyotzas, to teach us the following halacha, la-hakish ele, to make a hekish from this to all other items that you have to return. They have to have the following qualifications. Lo malacha, to teach us. Ma-simlo miyuchedes, just like the simla is unique, it's special in that it has sheyesh bo simonim. A simla garment can have signs on it, so you can prove that it's yours. And this will be the source of much discussion in the Gemara. Is this really d'oraisa? Is this the rabbanu? We already alluded to this, and here we'll have this discussion again today in our Gemara. And more importantly, as we'll see from the Gemara, v'yesh l'cha tovim. You have somebody who says, hey, that's mine. I lost that. And therefore, you have, by the simla, simonim and tovim. That's how we'll refer to it. People that are demanding it are saying that that's mine. They're toveya it. And as well, they are toveya through simonim. So too, this is the paradigm of koldov or anything. Sheyesh bo simonim that has simonim on it, some way that you can claim that it's yours. V'yesh lo tovim, and there are people that are claiming it. There are people that are saying, hey, that's mine. All of these are the paradigm. This is to teach us the binyan av for all things that are lost, chayiv l'hachris. If it has these characteristics, that there are tovim and that there are simonim, so that's the type of thing that has to be returned if you find it. Now, Gemara starts off and says, my bichlal kol elu. What is the klal over here that was saying simla was included, and then it was yotzis, it was specifically mentioned to teach us this din. So I'm a rava, bichlal, it's in this pasuk, kol avidas ochicha. It already said you have to return all the avedas of your brother, and therefore we would have known it includes a simla. So why did it mention simla? Again, to teach us tovin and simon. Now, Rav is going to tell us another din. Amar Rava, lo mali dekase rachmana, shor, chamor, seh, v'simla. Again, in the two psukim that we brought down, it mentioned four things that would have been all included, we would have thought, in the idea of kol avidas ochicha. So why did the psukim specifically mention shor, chamor, seh, and simla? Now, Tzricha, you needed to tell me all of them, each of them has a unique din that they were coming to teach us. Because the Ikos of Rachman is similar. If you only taught a similar, which is what our Mishnah said, so I would have said, okay, great. Hava amina, hani mili bi edim de gufa, or visimonim de gufa. I would have said that that's true, because the person can say, hey, that garment, that similar, that is mine, because I have witnesses that say that that garment is mine, or I have a sign on that garment. It has a hole or a stain right over there on that spot that only I would know about if it's really mine. So therefore, that is the way I'm getting it back, because I have specific either edim that testify that it's mine, or I have a simon that says that it's mine on the item itself. So I would know you have to return the item. However, I would not know that if, for example, my donkey was lost with its saddle, and all I had was a way to define that the saddle was mine. Avul chamor, the edim de ukaf, but I would have said, if the only way I could say that the chamor was mine, because it had a specific ukaf, it had a specific saddle on it, and I have testimony, either the simonim de ukaf or the edim de ukaf, I have only the ability to prove that the saddle is mine through Adam, or that the saddle is mine through some simon on it. So I would have said, okay, great, you get the saddle back, but you don't get the donkey back. Emolo madrina le, I would say you only get the saddle, but you don't get the donkey. So, kosa rachmona chamor, to teach us, tafilu chamor, b'simaneya ukaf, or with the edus of the ukaf, so then that is significant enough to go and get me back both the saddle, of course, but also the donkey. Great. So that's why I also need to have the pasuk specifically mention chamor. But what about shor and seh? Shor and seh, the cause of rachmana, they seem to be written in the Torah unnecessarily, lumily. Now we know there's nothing else extra written in the Torah. So we obviously have to have a drasha for both of them. So shor, the purpose of writing shor in the pasuk is dafilu legizas zinovo. Now Rashi explains that this teaches us that even though you sheared the ox tail over here, the zonov of the shor, sha'afilu seyor shebisov ha'zonov yachzir. Now this is worth almost nothing. Now, Tosfos even has a problem with the way Rashi understands, because he says it's worth less than a shava pruta, and you don't have to return something that's less than a shava pruta. But Rashi understands it's that if it is coming along with the rest of the ox, so then you even have to go and pay. If you went and you sheared the little bit of hair that's on the tail of the ox, then you have to go and return that as well. So that's why Rashi says you wouldn't have known that if you didn't have the word shar. You would have said that's unimportant, that's not chashuv, and therefore you wouldn't have to go and return that. So comes to teach us the word shar, that you even have to return that. Again, Tosfos has a slightly different way of understanding this. Tosfos says that the word legizas znovo comes to teach me different than Rashi. He says, im tomar, im yesh bo shava pruta pshita, because he says, if the hair there is worth more than a shava pruta, so then what's the chedesh? Of course you have to return it. Im ein bo shava pruta, and if it's not worth a shava pruta, ha, ima iton likamon ne hashava, then we'll see there are psukim that teach us that you don't have to return it if it's less than a shava pruta. So Rashi would explain, yes, even though it's less than a shava pruta, since it comes along with the ox, so therefore you have to go and return it. But Tosfos therefore has a different answer. The Yeshloma, therefore, the Tosfos says, the itzterich, the reason when we need the word shor is to teach us that you have to take care of the ox. Shechayev legozezo be'ita, that when the ox needs shearing on the tail, you have to go and do that. Avu b'shem b'shava pruta b'shar shegezozo. Even though it's not worth it, so to say, to do this, the benefit that you're getting for spending your time doing this is less than a shava pruta. No, kamash malon, the word shor, according to Tosu, says you have to go and do this as part of your taking care of the animal until you can return it. So, bein l'Rashi, bein l'Tosos, we need the word shor. But now, the word seh, what do we need that for? So, the Gemara says, v'seh, you need l'gizosav, to tell us that if you shear a sheep, so you have to go return those shearings that you did, or the value of those shearings, to the owner. So, the Gemara says, wait a second. Once you tell me shor, which is almost valueless, so certainly, of course, I would have to return the shearings of the sheep, which are much more valuable. The wool of the sheep is much more valuable than the little bit of seyor that's on the tail of the ox. So the Gemara says, the lich tov rachmona shor, just write shor, because da'afilu legiza zenovo, if I have to go, and like Rashi said, to return the value of the shearings, or like Tosa says, you have to go and shear the tail, even though it's less than a shava pruta for your benefit of doing this hard work, da'afilu legiza zenovo, you have to go do it. So then certainly, because you can't sell legizo sov. So then, why do I need a special pasuk to tell me you have to go shear the set or pay for the value of the set of the shearings? Because if you have to do it for the gizas zinovo, Allah has kama v'kama, do you have to do it for the set legizosav? So we're stuck. We don't have a drasha for the word seh. And the Gemara says, therefore, Elo Amar Rava, in regards to the word seh, we don't have an answer. We don't understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the word seh in there. But first, he reminds us that we had a similar problem, if you remember back from the middle of Bava Kama. So we had there, and Rashi reminds us that we had said over there, Chamor Debor L'Rebbe Yehuda. So Rashi reminds us, he has the word debar, that this extra word chamar in regards to the dinu of bar. So only according to Pinyin Rabbi Yehuda, because we have a drasha there, Rashi reminds us, the mechayev al niske kelim bibar. So kashulon, Rabbi Yehuda says that if a person's kelim fell into a bar, the owner of the bar is responsible to pay for the kelim. Whereas the chachamim say that no, shar v'lo adam, chamar v'lo kelim. So the Chachamim darshan the extra word chamor to teach us that only if an animal falls into a pit do you have to go and pay for it, but if your kelim fall into a pit, you don't have to pay for it. So the Chachamim needed the word chamor in the pasuk. But Rav Yehuda, who disagrees, he says that you're chayav to pay for kelim if they're broken in the pit. So then he has no usage, he has no drasha for the word chamor. So chamor, in regards to the halachos of bar, L'Rabbi Yehuda, is totally extra, and we don't know why the Torah wrote it. And likewise over here, v'seh, the Aveda, and the word seh that's written in regards to the halachos of Hashavas Aveda, according to everybody, not just Rabbi Yehuda, according to everybody, is, as far as we know, unnecessary, and therefore it's a kasha why the Torah wrote it there. And that's how we leave it. We leave it. We don't know why the Torah wrote the word seh in the psukim dealing with Hashavas Aveda. Okay, now, Mara still wants to suggest a couple of answers before we give up, but ultimately we're going to give up. The Ema may be Liglolim Hudiyasa. Maybe it's coming to teach us that if the animal has a dung that comes out of it and you use that animal's fertilizer, you either have to give him back the fertilizer if it hasn't been used up, or you have to pay him for the fertilizer that you got from the animal. Now, the Gemara says, no, that can't be. We wouldn't need a pasuk to teach us that because gilolim afkure mafkur lehu. As Rashi says, you don't have to go and return this lemisha tarachbo, whoever is going to take care of the animal, and he has to go take care of the excrement that comes out of the animal. We don't make him go and return that or pay for that. V'lo asakra l'rabuninhu, the ein lo tovimhu, because the reason why is because nobody's asking for this. The owner of the sheep, when you return the sheep, says, okay, the dog, that was yours. Don't worry about it. You don't have to pay me for that. So therefore, nobody is toveya that. And we had said before, the paradigm we learned out from Simla is that it has to have tovim, and nobody is toveya this. It's essentially hefker, and therefore, that can't be what the word says coming to teach us, that you have to return the glolim, the dung. Aye, the Gemara says, maybe v'dilma l'simanin hudiyasa. Maybe the word seh is coming to teach us that you need to have a simon in order to get it back. Because the bylaw, because we asked in the Beis Medrash, simanim d'araisa d'rabbanan, which is a question we're going to finally get to a little bit more today. Right now we're just alluding to it. The question was asked in the Beis Medrash, are simanim edin d'araisa or edin d'rabbanan? And the Gemara will give us nafkaminas and have to go through which one it is. In any event, maybe that's why the Torah writes, kasa rechman seh, to teach us, da'afilu b'simanim mehadrinan, that even if there are, quote, only simanim, you don't have edim, you just have a simon, so then you have to go and return it. No, and that's what the pasuk says coming to teach us, the simanim are edin d'araisa. And maybe that's why it says seh. Someone says, no. Amre, we answer to that, midiktoni luhu tano lisimonim gabe simlo. We already learned that. We had in the Mishnah, and then in the Gemara, we said that the word simla is written there to teach us that you have to have tovim, and you have to have simonim. Diktani, ma simla miyuchedes sheyesh ba simonim v'yesh la tovim. The simla was unique, it was brought out, it was yotzeis, to teach us that something like the simla has both tovim, somebody who's asking for it, and it also has simonim on it. Chayv lahachrit. So that's the paradigm. That's the binyanav to teach us. I've called over sheish bo simon the yesh lo tovim. Chayv lahachrit. You have to go and announce. You can't keep it for yourself. So therefore, we already learned the simonim shma minah to say lav lu simonim hu diyasa. So the word set can't be coming to teach us simonim. We already learned that from Simla. So the bottom line is we don't have a drasha for the word set. The Gemara leads that as an ibayi the love sheitalot. It's something we just don't understand. When Elio comes, Mashiach's going to come. He's going to tell us what the answer to this question is. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan, we learn now in the following brisa. The pasuk tells us, Asher Tovad. We read these psukim at the beginning of the shir. It tells us, Asher Tovad, anything that is lost. This comes to specifically exclude Prat li aveda she'ein ba shava pruta. It has to be something that is lost. In other words, it has to be something significant, has to be worth a shava pruta. So asher tovat comes to exclude something that's less than a shava pruta. Oh, here's the drash that we've been alluding to early in the shiur today, as well as in previous shiurim, that if something is less than a shava pruta, you don't have to go and return it. Nothing wrong if you do, you're not over an iser, but you're not mechuyev to return something that's less than a shava pruta. That is the drasha of the Tana Kama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, he learns it out from the word, umitzasa, something that you find. It has to be something that is a significant find. This, therefore, comes to exclude prat li'aveda she'ein ba shavet pruta. This comes to exclude an aveda that doesn't have a shavet pruta. And that's the drasha, according to Rabbi Yehuda, how we know that it has to have at least a shavet pruta. So we have two different opinions over here. Has how we learn this out? The Tana Kama versus Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara asks, "My benayu, is there a practical nafkamina between the two?" So the Gemara says, "At first, no." Amar Abayi, Mashmos Dorshin Ikabinayu. The only difference between them is how you learn out the drasha. But the bottom line is, there's no nafkamina in halacha between these two opinions. It's just how you learn it out. Mar nafkula le me asher tovad. The Tana Kama learns it out from the word asher tovad, and umar Rabbi Yehuda nafkula me umitzasa from the word umitzasa. Now the Gemara obviously asks, what does each one do with the other one's drasha? So uleman de nafkula me asher tovad. According to the Tana Kama, learns it out from asher tovad. What does he do with the word umitzasa? Hi umitzasa my obedle. He has to darshan something from it. He obviously doesn't darshan it has to be less. Worth more than a shavu pruta to return it. It's less than a shavu pruta you don't, because you learned that after Asher Tovat. So, how we boy lay, according to the Tana Kama, the word umitzasa comes to teach us a din lichid de Rabbi Noi, like Rabbi Noi taught us. What was that din? The other Rabbi Noi? Rabbi Noi taught us the word umitzasa comes the osoi liodei mashma. The din, as Rashi explains, is that you only have to return things to a yid. There is no mitzvah shavu saveda to a goy. Practically speaking, if you're going to make a kiddush Hashem, or if they're going to know that you didn't return it, so then you must return it to a goy as well. So therefore, this lemaisa doesn't apply most of the time. But min hadin, that only a yid does their mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, because the guy doesn't have a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda to you. He's going to keep your item, so you're allowed to basically keep his item as well. Again, if you'll make a Kiddush Hashem by returning it, which you find so many times, Baruch Hashem, they make such a beautiful Kiddush Hashem. A yid finds a suitcase that has lots of money. He finds a piece of furniture that has lots of money. We have recent examples where these things were returned in a very beautiful way to make a Kiddush Hashem. Or certainly, if the guy sees you picking it up and you don't return it, so that would be a Chil Hashem. So, of course, you have to go and return it in that situation. But min ha'etzem adin, since they're not mechuyev to return your avedas, they don't have a din, it's not one of the Zayin mitzvahs of Bnei Noach to go and return Hashavas avedas, so you don't have a mitzvah to return it to them. In any event, I might have thought that that's only if you didn't pick it up. You're allowed to turn away from it. But once you pick it up, that's soil your day. So maybe then you do have to go give it back. So therefore, the extra word, mitzvah, means even that's soil your day, mashma that you don't have to go give it back. So that's what and Tana Kama does with the word umitzasa. In a moment, we'll have to ask, no, where does Rabbi Yehuda learn this din out there, soil your day mashma? Because he needs the word umitzasa to teach us that if it's less than a shavu pruta, you don't have to return it. So we'll get to that in a moment. No, now we flip it around. Uleman de nafka le mi mitzasa. Rabbi Yehuda, who learns mitzasa, what does he do with the words? Hi, asher tovad, what does he do? My ovid lay with those words. So, the boy lay with Rabbi Yochanan. He needs it for the dinner of Yochanan. What was the dinner of Yochanan? The Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum, Rishum, Vayachai. Rabbi Yochanan said the name of Rishum, Ben Yochai. He says, Minayin li aveda sheshitofa nohar shehimu teres. How do we know that if person's aveda is taken away, his item is taken away by a flowing river, the river overflowed the banks and it took his keli away, and even though he's screaming, I'm not giving up hope, nevertheless, it is muteris to the person that found it. Shenema, because the pasuk says, Kein taseh l'chol avedas ochicha, asher tovad mimenu umitzasa. That implies that it has to have misha avuda hemenu umitzuya etzu kol adam. Rabbi Yehuda darshens the word asher tovad to teach us that it is lost from person A, Reuven, and is found by person B, Shimon. So there has to be a Reuven and there has to be a Shimon. Yotz is a zoo, but in this situation where the river swept away his keli, so then it's lost for everybody. Shavuda heimenu v'eino mitzriya etzu kol adam. It's not like Reuven lost it and Shimon found it. It's Reuven lost it, and right now nobody can get it. The river has taken it away. So therefore, at some future point, it might be able to be found, but right now, if it doesn't have a Reuven and a Shimon, it doesn't have the person that lost it and the person that found it, so then there is no din that you have to go and return it. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda uses the word umetzasa for, and then again, in the moment, we'll have to say, what does the Tanakama learn this din from? How does the Tanakama learn out this din that if it was taken away by a flowing river, that it is the property of the person who finds it and doesn't have to return it? Okay, so now we first go back and say, what did the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda do with the word, with the din of Rabbi Noi? Rabbi Noi said, the osl yodei mashma. How does Rabbi Yehuda know that din? The idach, how does he know that you have no chiyuv to return it to a guy, even if it came into your hand? Oh, great, great, there's no visalanta, but once it comes into your hands, maybe you do have to return it. No, the word umetzasa, according to the Tanakhama, comes to teach us this din. No, Rabbi Yehuda needs the word umetzasa to teach us that if it's less than Shabbat Purim, you don't have to turn it. So what does he do with the word umetzasa? Ha, the Rabbi Noi, minole, how does he know that din? So he says, look at the word carefully. It says, ooh, mitzasa. Nafkale mi, the vav of ooh, mitzasa. That was extra, and he learns that din from it. So he can learn both of his din from the word ooh, mitzasa. Mitzasa teaches us, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that if it's less than Shavu Pruta, you don't have to return it. And ooh, mitzasa tells us, the asoyli day, even then, you don't have to go and return it to a goy. Okay, so we've solved everything according to Yehuda. We still have one thing left. The Ida, according to the Tanakama, who needed the word Ashotova to teach us the basic din, that if it's less than Shavu Pruta, you don't go and pay it back. You don't have to go and return it. So then, how does he learn out the din of the flood? If the water was swept away, so he learns that out. Rabbi Yehuda learns it out from the word Ashotovan. But the Tanakhama needs the words Ashotovan. So how does he learn that out? Hoda Rabbi Yochanan minole. So the Gemara says, Nafkale mimenu. It says Asher Tovad mimenu. There's an extra word mimenu. And he darshes it out from the word mimenu. No, we throw it back onto Rabbi Yehuda. Why doesn't he darshes it out from mimenu? The Idach, Rabbi Yehuda, why doesn't he use the word mimenu? And then you'd have the question, what does he do with Asher Tovad? So he says, no, mimenu lo mashle. He says, from the word mimenu, you can't darshes this out. You need the word Asher Tovad mimenu to teach us no drasha. And therefore, both the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda have explained why they need the words Asher Tovad, why they need the words U Mitzasa, and according to the Tanakhama, why you need the word Mimenu, according to Yehuda, you don't darshan anything unique from the word Mimenu. And again, as the Gemara said before, there's no real nafkamina lehalacha between the Tanakhama and Yehuda, albeit the Gemara is now going to see if there is a nafkamina between them. So right now we said there's no nafkamina. Rav Amar, Rav however says, yeah, I can find the nafkamina between the Tanakhama and Yehuda, and then we're going to have another attempt to say a different nafkamina between the Tanakhama and Yehuda, and both of them are going to be rejected. So Rav Amar, you know what the nafkamina is between the two, peruta shehuzla, that was worth a shava peruta initially, and then huzla, it went down in value, so it's less than a shava peruta. That's the nafkamina between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. Ika benayu, that we have a ramification between them. Man diyam, according to the Tanakhama, that says we learn it out, me asher tovad, from the words asher tovad. So then, it has to be a shava peruta at the time that it was lost. And here, ika, it was worth a shava peruta at the time that it was lost, and then only subsequently did it go down in value to be less than a shava peruta. So according to the Tanakhama, you'd have to return it. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, "Uman diomar umitzasa mim umitzasa." You learn it after umitzasa. It's when you find it that it has to have a shavu pruta. Here it doesn't have a shavu pruta. When you find it, it went down in value, and therefore leka. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you wouldn't have to return it. So something that was worth a penny when it was lost, but now is worth only a half of the penny. So the Tanakhama would say you have to return it, and Rabbi Yehuda would say you wouldn't have to return it. That's the nafkamina between them. But the Gemara says that's not correct. Rava's statement is not correct because even according to Mandiyama, Ulamandiyama Asher Tovad, even though the Mandiyama says that it has to have a Shavu Pruta at the time that it's lost, it still has to have a Shavu Pruta at the time that it's found, and it doesn't. So therefore, even according to the Tanakhama, you would have to have a Shavu Pruta both at the time that it was lost as well as the time that it was found because it says umetzasa. So therefore, this nafkamina of Rava is incorrect. Both Rav Yehuda as well as the Tanakhama would say you don't have to return it if it's less than a Shavu Pruta at the end. Now, maybe it's the other way around. Ela pruta shuhukra ikabinayu. In fact, maybe if it was worth less than a shava pruta at the time that it was lost, and then it became worth more than a shava pruta, it went up in value, maybe that's a nafkamina. Because Mandiyam, according to Rabbi Yehuda, says we learned that from umitzasa, it has to have a shava pruta at the time that you find it. Now it does, ika. But according to the Tanakhama, Mandiyam, asher tovad, when it's lost, it has to have the shava pruta. Here it didn't. It was less than a shava pruta, leka. So let us suggest that this is the nafkamina. If it's worth less than a penny when it was lost, but worth more than a penny when it's found. So, according to the Tanakhama, you don't have to return it. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you do have to return it. So it says, no, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, Ulaman Diyam Umitzasa, nevertheless, Habina Asher Tovad. It also said Asher Tovad. In other words, it has to have a Shabbat Pruta even at the beginning. The Lekker, it doesn't. So therefore, Bain the Tanakam, Bain Rabbi Yehuda, in this situation as well, even though it was not worth the Shabbat Pruta, but now it's worth the Shabbat Pruta, both of them would say you don't have to return it. So the two potential differences over here, whether it went down in value or went up in value, neither of them is a nafka mina. Both the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda would say in both of these situations, unless it's worth the Shabbat Pruta at the beginning and at the end, so then you don't have to go and return it. More tries one more time. So maybe the nafka mina is Ela Pruta. Now, the word Shehukra is deleted by the Bach, but I think I understand why it was put in here, because the word Pruta is telling us, Shehukra, that it initially was worth more than a Shabbat Pruta. So you don't really need the word hukra to tell us that, but that's what it probably is coming to teach us, whether you say it or not. So it's worth more than a Shavu Prut initially. Then the Hujla, after it was lost, it went down. When it was lost, it was worth more than a Shavu Pruta. Then at some point, after it was lost, it became less than a Shavu Pruta. But then the Chazra, the hukra, and then it became worth again a Shavu Pruta before it was found. So it was worth a Shavu Pruta, then was lost. It went down to less than a Shuvah Pruta, but it wasn't yet found, and then it went back up to a Shuvah Pruta, and now it's found. That would be the Nafka Mina, Ika Benai, between the Tanakama and the Rabbi Yehuda. This Pruta was really worth a Shuvah Pruta, Pruta Shehukra, so it was worth a Shuvah Pruta, and you delete the word Hukra, not, as we said, then it went down, and now it's worth again a Shuvah Pruta. According to the Tanakama, Mandiyama Asher Tovad, so it had a Shavu Pruta at the beginning, it had a Shavu Pruta at the end, so Ika, you have to go and return it. The fact that it lost the level of the Shavu Pruta in between, irrelevant. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, Mandiyama Mutsasa, that implies that it has to have the Shavu Pruta the entire time. But Inon, the Isbe Shir Mitzia, Mishas Aveda, the Achas Mitzia. It would have to have the Shavu Pruta at the very beginning until the very end. So according to this opinion, there would be a nafka mina over here between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. The other two explanations that we gave, there is no nafka mina. According to this nafka mina, this very unusual scenario, that it was worth the Shavah Pruta when it was lost. It's worth the Shavah Pruta when it was found, but in between it devaluated to being less than the Shavah Pruta. So here, the Tanakama would say, yes, you still have to go and chiv to return it, whereas Rabbi Yehuda would say, no, you don't have a chiv to return it. So there could be this possible, very unusual nafka mina between the two opinions. Now the Gemara asked the famous question that we asked early in the Shia, as well as many times previously, what is the halachic status of Simonim? Ibailu, they asked the base medrash, Simonim d'araisa or d'rabbanan? Are Simonim a din d'araisa, or are they only something that the rabbi set up to help facilitate, so to say, commerce and return of items to their rightful owners? So Gemara says, my nafka mina, what's the practical difference between whether you say it's d'araisa or d'rabbanan? Bottom line is, we accept it. So Gemara says, return to Chosayin on my base. No, a huge nafka mina would be for a din d'araisa, would you be allowed to return it? So for a din d'araisa, you could return it if it was a din d'araisa of Simonim, such as a get. So you'd be allowed to return it. But if it's only a din d'rabbanan, so we can't say that a person is divorced with something that wouldn't, on a d'araisa level, be considered the owner of the get to really own it. So la'adure get isha b'simanim is the nafka mina. Can you return if a get was found that a person claims that's the get that I was giving to my wife, or the shliach says that's the get that I was being assigned to go and give to this person's wife? Can I, in fact, give that get back to the shliach to go and give it to the woman? Because the woman is married in Eishes Ish on a deraisa level. If we can give back this get so on a deraisa level, so then she will be a divorced woman with this get. But if on a deraisa level, it's not considered acceptable, once it leaves the person's possession, how do we know it's the same get? On a deraisa level, we would say, no, it's not the same get. Oh, I mean, the rabbani is saying it's the same get because it is simanim. That wouldn't be enough to divorce a woman on a deraisa level. So, yamrez deraisa, if you're telling me that simanim are deraisa, so if the person can give a definitive simon on a deraisa level, that this is allowed to go and be given back to the shaliach, let's say, and he can then continue on his way to give the get to the woman, following through on the shlichus from the husband, so then madrina, you'd be allowed to give it back. But the yam is the rabbanan. If you're saying that this is only a din the rabbanan, so then when the rabbi set up such a din the rabbanan, ki obed rabbanan takanta b'mamona, the rabbis only set this up for dine mamonos, because the rabbis have the rule, hefker beis din hefker. The rabbis have the right to take my money and give it to him, take his money and give it to me. The rabbis control who owns the money. So, mi dirabanan, they can set this up. But on a deraisa level, if the get doesn't belong anymore to the shaliach, it's not a valid get to divorce the woman. If we allow him to get it back, mi dirabanan, so then this woman is only divorced on a dirabanan level. On a deraisa level, she's still an ashes ish. Avo bisura, lo avi dirabanan tekanta. The rabbis don't have the right to say on a deraisa level that this belongs to the person who lost the get. So therefore, this would be a huge nafkamina, simonim deraisa, simonim dirabanan. So we're trying to bring a raya from our Mishnah, Toshma. We learned in our Mishnah, Av Hasimla Haisa Bichlal Kol Elu. We had said that the word Simla was specifically mentioned, it was Yotzeis, even though it was already included in Asher Tovad Mimenu, that anything that was lost from him, so that's telling me anything that was lost. Why did it specifically mention Simla? So we said in the Mishnah, V'lo Miyotzeis, L'haki She'lel, to teach us, this is the paradigm, this is the binyanav for all things. V'lo Malacha, to teach us, Ma Simla Miyuchedes, Yesh Lo Simonim, Yesh Lo Tovim, the Simla, the paradigm is that it has people that are claiming it, people suddenly say, hey, that's mine, and how do they get it back? Because it has Simonim on it. Now, that seems to say, daraisa. The word simla is teaching us is din daraisa. So, yechayiv lahachriz, you can't keep it. You have to go and announce and say, did anybody lose this? That's the paradigm. I've called up, sheesh lo simonim, v'yesh lo tovim, chayiv lahachriz. So, this is a din daraisa. The word simla is written in the pasuk to teach us a din of tovim and simonim as the paradigm. Asked and answered. Simonim a daraisa. Where's his lav dafka? The Tana told him it's richle. The real chiddush of Simla was that it has to have somebody claiming it. It can't be that nobody's claiming it. It can't be something that nobody originally owned. It has to have somebody toveya it to be able to go and use this as the paradigm. Simla is that there has to be a toveya. But the Simanim Kidei Nisba, that came along for the ride. That came along. And by the way, Simanim, but that's the Rabbanim. The Simanim wasn't the Ikka Drasha. The Ikka Drasha was Tovim. And yeah, by the way, the rabbi said Simanim also will work on the Rabbanim level. So you can't bring me a riot from the Mishnah as to whether Simanim are Daraisa or the Rabbanim. Try again. Toshma. Chamor, we said in the Gemara, discussing the Mishnah, why was the word chamor written? B'simani ukaf, to teach us that if there are simanim on the saddle, that the word chamor is telling us that not only do you return the saddle, but you also return the donkey. That must be simanim daraisa. We have a pasuk, chamor. So, it's a din daraisa. Gemara says, lav davka. Who says that it was simane ukaf? In fact, Ema, it is the drasha, not simane ukaf. It was b'edi ukaf. There are Aiden to testify that that's his saddle. So the word chamar teaches us, if you have Aiden to testify that that's your saddle, not simonim, Aiden, so then the donkey as well as the saddle goes back. So that's not a proof that simonim are daraisa. Try again. Toshma. V'hoyo imcho adrosh ochicha oso. So this is the pasuk that is in between the two psukim that we brought down originally. So this pasuk tells us, "Vahaya imcha, it shall remain with you this aveda until adrosh achicha oso, until somebody comes to claim it and say, hey, that's my aveda." Now, v'chisale al datcha shi'nenu lo kodem shi'adrushenu. Do we have even a havamina to say that you would go and give it back without somebody claiming it? If nobody's saying that this is mine, how would you even give it back? Ella, mustn't it be Darsheyu, go and seek out, go and investigate in Ramayu, Eino Ramay. Go and see if this guy is a liar, a cheat, or no, he's an Erlich person. Now, how do you do that? My lab is Simonim. Mustn't it be? The Pasuk is telling us only return it to him if he has Simonim. Simonim Adaraisa. My lab is Simonim. Or says, absolutely not. Who says, lo, be'edim? Maybe the Pasuk is telling us, go and seek out if it's his. No, do you have witnesses that this is yours? If you don't have witnesses it's yours, then on a Daraisa level, I don't have to give it back. So again, tried. We have no raya, whether Simonim or Daraisa or Dirabanan from these psukim. Try again. Toshma. Now here we're going to learn from a Mishnah in Yevamos. The Mishnah there says, Ein me'idim el al partsuf haponim im hachotem. Rechmon l'slan, if somebody passes away, and we're trying to identify who Nebuch the Niftor or Nifteris is, so you need to have witnesses come along and say that the partsuf ponim, their face, with the nose, that's how you can definitively identify a person. That the requirement to definitively state that this person is such and such a person requires this type of Eidus. Now, even though there was some simonim on the body, let's say there was a certain birthmark, or let's say he was wearing a certain suit that we know was his suit, so then that's not significant. So therefore, shma mina, simonim lav daraisa, that you see from this Mishnah that simonim do not work on a daraisa level. So where it says lav davka, Amri, you can answer here as well. The simonim that we're talking about aren't adequate is general simonim that aren't specific. Gufo, the aruch, this guy was very tall, or gutz, this guy was very short, so that's not a simon. Let's say the guy's 6'4", well, there's a lot of people that are 6'4". To say that he's 4'4", well, there are a lot of people that are 4'4". So therefore, the fact that his body was very long or very short, that's not considered a valid simon to identify the person. Likewise, Caleb, to say, well, I know that's his suit. You know, look, it even has his name inside the suit. That must be this person's suit. No, the chayshin and l'shela. He left the suit out. Nebuch, you have this occasionally that people, they gave somebody else their clothing, and then that person is found dead. The only thing you have is the clothing. Well, that's not a good proof. So the chayshin and l'shela, you have to be concerned that maybe he lent it out. So that's what it means that simon are no good. But if you had a real good simon, so then it would be good on a deraisa level. So you can't bring me any raya from here. So the Gemara says, wait a second. If you're telling me, oh, we have to be concerned about borrowing it, so even though this shirt that he's wearing has his name on it, we have to be concerned, no, maybe it's really somebody else's shirt and they lent it to him. No, then chamor b'simoni ukov heichim hadrinon. So then by the donkey as well, even though you have witnesses or simonim that say that this is the saddle of this donkey, maybe it was actually lend to this person, and the donkey doesn't belong to him. It's only the saddle. If you're returning the donkey to the owner of the saddle, well, the owner of the saddle doesn't really own the donkey because this was lent. So Gemara says, no, we don't lend saddles on donkeys. Amrei, ukaf lo sheule inshe ukva. A person doesn't lend out his saddle. The Rabbeinu Chananel explains over here on the side in the Rabbeinu Chananel, he says, ikof lo mushle, people don't lend out their saddles because lama. Why? Ki pa'amim shetia behemas bal ha'ikuv raza. The animal, the original owner of the animal with the saddle, his animal is a thin animal. Who behemas ashoa, and the one who's borrowing the saddle, he has a shmena animal, a fatter animal. And therefore, when he wears the saddle, he's going to go and ruin it for the original owner's donkey. Ukishinostim olea zeha ikov, when you put the saddle from the thin donkey onto this shmena donkey, this fatter donkey, mistapach, it's going to be swollen. It's going to spread out. Ukishiyachsir, and when he goes and returns it to the original thin animal, what's going to happen? It's going to rub his back. Miskavah, pirush, osabo chabura, it's going to damage him. So that's why people don't lend out their saddles. Like people don't lend shoes normally because the shoe is fitted and formed to your foot. When somebody else wears it, they're going to undo that forming, and when you put it back on, it's going to bother you or hurt you. So saddles, you don't lend saddles. And therefore, we don't have to be choshesh that the saddle was borrowed. And therefore, if you can prove that this saddle belongs to you, so then the donkey comes along with it. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, ibayis ema, Kalov bechivare ubisumke, that when we're saying that the person wasn't allowed to give back by simonim, it was a very general simon. It was white or it was red. And that certainly isn't enough to qualify that this is the dead person. You saw the person alive this morning wearing a red shirt, and now the dead body is a guy wearing a red shirt. Oh, must be the same guy. Labdavka, that's not a good simon. Okay. Now, back to the first teretz, where we said that people don't lend their saddles. So according to that, Elohad de Tanya, the following brayso we learned, Motso kosher bekis or bi'arnoki ubitabas. If a shaliach lost the get, Rashi explains that's what the case is talking about over here. Shaliach maybe get, but avad heimenu li'achar zman. A shaliach brought the get, but then he lost it, and it was only found much later in time. And it was found, Motso kosher bekis, it was found attached to his wallet, that belonged to the shaliach, or ba'arniki, or a different type of wallet that belonged to him, b'kis or ba'arniki, or his ring, his signet ring, u'b'tabas. So that clearly is similar to the case of the donkey's saddle, and we said with the donkey's saddle that if you can bring simonim on the donkey's saddle, so then that's good. The reason why, that it's accepted there because nobody lends out their saddle. But here, the kiss, the Arnikin Tabas, Mitzvah Ben Kelev, he finds it amongst his other utensils. Afilu Lizman Ruba Kosher. We do go return it to the guy. So how come by the case of the donkey saddle, we say that people don't lend out their donkey saddle? But here we seem to say that you do. If we're concerned that maybe somebody lent it out, so then Kimitzol Kosher Bikiso, when it's found attached to his kiss, how do we know that he didn't lend out his kiss? Am I kosher? Nechush L'Sheila. So why don't we say that over here? So the Gemara says, by the donkey saddle, we don't say it because nobody lends out a donkey saddle. By these three things as well, the kiss, the arnikin, the tabas, people didn't lend it out. You don't have to be choshesh l'sheila in this situation as well. Why? Amrei. Kiss, the arnikin, the tabas, lo mishali inshi. Like with the donkey saddle, people didn't lend these things out. Why not? Kiss, the arnikin, your wallets, your different types of wallets, mishum dimisamne. This is something that Rashi explains means minachshe. People have, you know, a certain sense, oh, I'm giving away my fortune to you. It's like I'm giving over to you my good wealth. I'm giving over to you my good fortune. And therefore, people don't do that. Now, it's superstitious, but people didn't do it. Tosus says, if it's superstitious, you're not allowed to do it. So the bottom line is, Tosus explains, no, people do certain things for refuah, for example, and even though they're a little bit superstitious, so we brought down. This isn't the Goyish ways, and there's no issue in doing so. So to over here, even though people, there's a custom, you don't lend this out. So whether it's for a purpose, so to say, you don't want to give away your wealth. So therefore, even though it's misamne, it's not something that we're saying has legitimacy to it. Nevertheless, people didn't lend out their kiss or their anarchy. So those are the facts. So therefore, if you find the get attached to this guy's kiss or anarchy, we don't have to be choshesh l'sheila. And the tabaz, the signet ring, mishum de mizayif. If somebody has my signet ring, they can go make impressions of it, and then they can sign my name. The signet ring was something that they would, you know, put into clay and then sign with, or put it into ink and sign with it. So in this situation, he would be able to falsify my signature. So people didn't lend out a signet ring. So if you find this get attached to something that definitely wasn't lent out, then we don't have to be choshesh l'sheila. We can say that it definitely belongs to the shliach and we give it back. Okay, so we don't have a raya yet. The Gemara now wants to suggest that maybe lemo kitanoi, this question of simonim deraisa, simonim derabanan, is actually machlokes tanoi, based upon the following. Ein me'idin al hashuma. The Braisa teaches us that if a person, Nebuch, is dead, and you want to identify him by a certain shuma is a wart. Rashi always translated it with a foreign language word, vera, and a wart is something, a varicus is the term that we use for a wart. So therefore, this is the simon that you want to say. This person has a certain wart, that must be this person. So the Tanakhama says, Eimeidin ala shuma. You can't go and testify that this is the dead person based upon a wart. Oh, the Tanakhama holds that simonim are not deraisa. However, Ve'alazar ben Mehavai omer me'idin ala shuma. He says, you can. So let us say, this is the machlokes tonight. My la b'hokabivli, the Tanakhama and Elazar ben Mehavai are arguing exactly about this point. The Tanakhama savar simonim derabanan. Ve'alazar ben Mehavai savar simonim deraisa. This is the machlokes, let us say. Mor says, no. Amar Rava, Rava says, no. In fact, the Kuliyama simonim deraisa. In fact, everybody holds both the Tanakhama and the laws of Mavoi, the simonim are deraisa. Aye, why does the Tanakhama then say, ein me'idin al shuma? V'hocha b'shuma mitzuya ben begilu kumim ligi. They're arguing about, does this what only occur on this guy, or could occur on other people that are, quote, ben gilo. Ben gilo is somebody born under the same mazel as you, somebody born at the same time as you. Hanolad bishaito shenoldo b'mazel echa. They have the same astronomical configuration at the time of their birth, and that somehow could lead to this wart being present on both of them. So the Tanakhama says, ma'asavar shuma mitzuya b'ben gilo, and that's why it's not a valid simon. Simon wa daraisa, but this isn't the valid simon. Ma'asavar elozo ben mavoy says, no, Shuma ain't no mitzuya b'benkilo. This doesn't occur on a regular basis with other people, and therefore this is a valid simon. So it's not about simonim deraisa. Not both of them hold simonim deraisa. They're just talking about, is this a valid simon or not? Ibai say, alternatively, you can explain it as follows. The kuliyama shuma ena mitsuya b'mengilo. Everybody agrees that this is a unique type of a shuma. The only question is, does it change after death? They're arguing about, does this shuma change its appearance upon death? So, mar savar, Tanakama holds, Simon Masuyim Lishtanos Liachamitsa. It can change, and therefore you're identifying it. Who says that that's the same Shuma that the dead person had? Umar Savar, no. Elozim Rabbi says, Simonim Ein Asuyim Lishtanos Liachamitsa, and therefore one can guarantee that this is in fact the same Simon. A third Teretz, Ibai Yisemo, Dekuliyamo Shuma Ein Asuyim Lishtanos Liachamitsa. No, in fact, Shuma doesn't change. If this Shuma is the Shuma, that's it. And Simonim, in fact, Durabanan. No, so here they're arguing about this particular Shuma, how unique is it? Everybody agrees that a extremely unique, special, unusual simon, so that is in fact a simon muvuk that you can return it to. So here, my sovar Shuma simon muvuku. The opinion of Elazar ben Ma'avoy is that a simon is this what is a simon muvuku, and that is why you can return it, even though simonim in general are derabbanan. But the Tanakhama says no, Shuma lav simon muvuku. No, this is not so unique. It is not so special and so definitive that it is this dead person, and that's why you can't use it. So we cannot say that this machlokes in the Tanakhama and the laws of Min Avai is in fact the machlokes or simonim derabbanan or simonim deraisa, and we are still left with our original question. Where continues says, "Omar Rava, im timtzei lomar simonim lav deraisa. If you want to say that simonim are in fact not deraisa, so then hechi mahadrinon avedisa v'simonim. So then, how do we allow? Why did the rabbis make a takana to say that you can return them if the din is mideraisa that you keep it? So then, why did the rabbis say that you go and return it?" So more answers, because denicha lei lemotzei aveda denedah b'simonim, because it's to the benefit of the person who finds it that the item should be returned with simonim. Why? Because kihechi dechi avdo lei lididei. Because if he were to lose something, nami nedru lei b'simonim. So he's happy that they'll give his item back to him. So therefore, he doesn't mind giving this item back to somebody when he finds it. Mor says that doesn't make any sense. Amalei Rav Safra l'Rava. Rav Safra says to Rava, v'chi adam oseh tova liatzvo b'mam mushenu shalo. If a person is benefiting for something, how is he allowed to benefit from something with his friend's property? The bottom line is, this may not belong to the person that he's returning it to. The simonim that he's giving may not be accurate, and therefore he's giving it to the wrong person. How can he say, well, it's good for him, because when he loses something, he'll know he'll be able to get it back. How can he benefit from somebody else's property because it's good for him? Therefore, you have to revise it slightly. Ella Rava says, okay, nicholei lebal aveda lemeyav simonim lemishkalei. It is good for the bal aveda, the one who lost it, is happy that the rabbis made this takana, that he can get it back with giving simonim. It's only din derabbanan. Because meida yoda the edim les lei. Because he knows he doesn't have witnesses that say this is his object. And therefore, he'll never get it back. Oh. Therefore, he says to himself, nobody else knows the simonim muvhakim on this thing like I do. Now, Tosfos points out, it doesn't mean that it's a real simon muvhak. That might be a din deraisa, even if you want to say that simonim are not deraisa, they're only derabbanan. But a simon muvhak, that might be deraisa. So Tosfos explains, we're not dealing here with the regular simonim muvhakim. It just means a simon that he knows. So I know this simon on this, but nobody else is going to know this simon on it. So therefore, nobody else knows this but me. Therefore, and therefore, I will benefit from being able to go and get my item back. So that's the person himself benefiting from this item. So therefore, that's why the rabbis are masaking this. Ayin Gemara says, Elo Hoditnan. That which we learned in the Mishnah that we had a few days ago, a week ago, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Echod Halove Mishlosha. Yachzir lilove, shlosha shalov mino echad yachzir lamalva. In that situation, where a person who had borrowed from three different people, mistama, the shtaros are his. Why would three different people have all their shtaros together? Oh, it must be that he has the shtaros. And likewise, if a person lends to three different people, so mistama, those are his shtaros, and you return it to him. Now, if your argument over here is nicha, it's good for the person, nicha le labala veda, so if that's your argument to accept simonim over there, nicha le lalove, laduri le lamalva, is it good for the lova to give this back to the malva? Those three people that borrowed money from this guy, is it good for them to give back the shtar to the malva? They're now going to be able to collect with that shtar. The malva is going to be able to collect with that shtar, so it's not good for them. So how can your rationale be that it's nicha le labala veda? So Amalei, so whoever says no, That case is different. There you have logic. Hasam svaru. It's a svaru. It's logical to say that the person who has all three documents should be the one that returns it to him, whether it's the borrower or whether it's the lender. Echad alova mishlosha. If one person is borrowing from three different people, so mistami, he has all three documents. So yachzir lov, it makes sense to return it to him. The gabi lova shlichi, because it's very likely that he would have all three documents. It's very unlikely that one of the lenders would have all three documents, because two of them aren't his. So therefore, gabi malva lo shlichi, it doesn't make any sense. And therefore, shma mina milovin nofel, it must have fallen from the one who was borrowing the money. And vice versa. Shlosha shalavu meyachad, if three people borrowed from one, so yachzir l'malva, you return it to that one person who lent the money, three people. Because again, the gabi malva shlichi, gabi lovin lo shlichi, because it makes sense that he would have all three documents, because he lent the three people. It doesn't make any sense that the three people that borrowed, three different people, that one would have the other two documents as well. So you can't bring me any raya of simonim from over there. Now, the Gemara says, we turn to Chav Ches Amud Aleph, Elo Haditnan, that which we said, Matzo Tachrich Shel Shtaros, if you find a roll of documents, or Agudah Shel Shtaros, a bundle of documents, so we learn there as well, on Dav Chav, in that Mishnah, Harei Zayach, you have to return it. So, Hochanami, Denich Le'lovi La'duri Le'lebaveh, so again, could that be an example where it's good for the person, the lova, to go give back the shtar to the malva? No, this nichale doesn't work in that situation. So how come it works when he gives the simon for the way the bundles are tied or the way the bundles are folded? Say, Elam Arava, simonim deraisa. In fact, simonim deraisa. Because we had this pasuk, this drasha earlier, v'haya imcha adrosha chicho. So this was the middle pasuk between the first and third pasuk that dealt with the shor, chamor, se, and simla. So the middle pasuk had, v'haya imcha adrosha chicho oso, that you stay with it until he asks for it, until he's toveyed. V'chital adatcha shitenu kodim shidvishenu. Do we think for a second that anyway we go give it back without somebody being toveyed? No, Ella Darshayu, it means you have to go and investigate, figure it out. In Ramai who? Oh, wait, no, Ramai. Is he a cheater, a fink, or is he an Erlich guy? So how do you check it out? Lav b'simonim, mustn't it be with simonim? Oh, shmamina, this is the din daraisa, where we see that simonim are daraisa. Now, before we had slugged this up, so the Gemara now says, Amar Rava, Im Timsi Lomar, Simonim Daraisa? Why are you saying over here, Im Timsi Lomar? Im Timsi Lomar, Ha Poshetle Simonim Daraisa? How can you tell me over here that it's not Daraisa? You just brought down that Rava says, this is the Pasuk, Im Chad Rosh Hachicho So, is it in Daraisa? So I said, no, maybe you don't hold like that. Mishum Deikol Amemar Kiddushanina, because we had answered already previously, who says it's talking about Simon, and maybe it's talking about Edom. So in any event, Rava says, if you want to say this is in fact the right drasha, then it's Simonim Daraisa. So then, Simonim V'Simonim Yaniach. What happens if two people come along, and one gives Simonim, and one gives Simonim? Two people say, this is mine, and each one gives the Simon for that item. So what do you do? Yaniach. In that situation, we don't know which one is right, which one is wrong, and therefore, you leave it. Simonim the Edim, if one person has Simonim and the other person has witnesses, so you know Simon Balo Edim, you give it to the witnesses, they're better than Simonim. What happens if it's Simonim, the Simonim the Eid Echad? One person has a Simon on it, and the other person has a Simon, but he also has an Eid Echad to testify that it's his. Eid Echad is worthless. Eid Echad command the Lesi Dami. We don't even consider that Eid Echad is, if he's there. This one has a Simon, this one has a Simon, and the Eid Echad is irrelevant, and Yoniach. Therefore, the Yoniach. What happens if one has witnesses, Edi Ariga, that he was the one that wove the garment, the Edi Nefila, the other one has witnesses that the garment fell from him. So then, in this situation, Tinasi Edi Nefila, because the Amrina Zebuni Zavna, Omine Shachrina Nofa, because the ones who are witnesses that he wove it, yeah, that may have been true. However, he then subsequently sold it to somebody else, and now, when that person, we have witnesses that it dropped from that other person, Mestama, he's the one that's the real owner. What happens if one says midas arko umidas rochvo? One says the length of the garment, and one says umidas rochvo, the width of the garment. So which one is a better simon? So tinasi l'midas arko, the one who has the length is the better argument. Why is that? The better simon, because the midas rochvo, the width, shiure komishar lo kad mechatsi lo mora v'koy, because that, when you see it on the person, you can guesstimate what the width is. So maybe that's not a valid simon. But the length, you can't guesstimate. The way they wore their garments, you can only guesstimate the width, but you wouldn't be able to guesstimate the length. So therefore, the guy knows the length, that mustam is the real owner, and the guy that knows the width, maybe he's a faker over here, and he just guesstimated what the width was. You can't really figure out the length, whereas the width, you can figure it out. Next case. What happens if one comes with midas arko, midas rochbo? One has the length and the width, and the other one just has the area, umidas gamo. He has the length and the width in total, but he doesn't know what the length was and what the width was. So obviously, you know, saying lemidas arkav rochva, that person knows more data about it. So the stummy, he's the real owner, than the one that just knew that it was, you know, the length and width together with this, or the area is this, because that's not as good as proof as if you know the exact dimensions of the length and the exact dimensions of the width. What happens if midas arko, midas rochva? One person has the length and the width, and the other one has midas mishkelo sof. The other one knows its weight, which is very unusual for someone to know the weight of a garment. Length and width, people would know, but the weight is unusual unless you're the real owner. So then, you know, say midas mishkelo sof. Then best to give it to the one who knows the weight. We had this tosis earlier that we brought this down, that the weight in a garment is unusual for a person to know that. So mistum, if the person knows the weight, he knows better than the person who has only the knowledge of the length and the width. And therefore, it makes more sense to give it to him. Then the next case, hu amer simoni aget. A man says, I know the simonim on this get. The omer, and the woman says, I also know the simoni aget. They each give the simoni aget. So you turn it to the man or you turn it to the woman. If you turn it to the man, she's not divorced. If you turn it to the woman, she is divorced. So in this situation, you know, see, you give it to her. Farshim explain, what did she exactly know? B'mai. Elaim, if you can tell me she knows Elaim, b'mi, that's Arko v'Rochvo. She knows the length and the width. Maybe she just saw it. He was holding it and she saw it. Duma, b'hadi, d'nokit, le'chazise. But he never gave it to her. So how does her knowing the length and the width prove that it should be given to her? So Gemara says, no, because she knew a detail about it that you would never have known if it hadn't been given to her. Elanekev yeshbo b'tzad osploni. She says there's a little hole by the letter kuf in this get. And therefore, obviously, she must have received it. Otherwise, how would she know that? So length and width, you're right, she might have seen him holding it, but there's no way she would have seen this little hole that was next to a certain letter. So obviously he must have given it to her. Mustam, if he gave it to her, then it belongs to her and she is divorced. There are strings on it that tie it up. So he knows the simon for it, and she knows the simon for it. So who do we believe? So you not see law. You give it to her. Again, the Gemara says, "Bimai, what simon is she identifying over here? The strings." She's saying there are white strings or there are red strings. So maybe she just saw him holding it, and that's why she's able to identify it. So the Gemara says again, "Elabimidas arkov." She knows the exact length of these strings. The only way she would know that would be if it was in her possession. So Mustam, if it was in her possession, she was given the get and it belongs to her. Finally, the Gemara concludes and says, "Hu omer b'chafisa." He says it was in a certain type of leather bag. The he omer is b'chafisa. And she says, no, it was in a certain type of leather bag. In this situation, yinasi lo, we give it to him. Because, why? My taima, she would guess that he put it in his leather pouch, because that's where he keeps all of his documents. My taima, may the other, the chol mi, the islay, b'chafisu, the monachle. So when she says, oh, it was in your leather pouch, that's pretty much a guess. We have no proof that she knows that, because there's no reason to think that it was anyplace else but his leather pouch. Whereas if he actually gave it to her, she wouldn't have put it in a leather pouch. She would have put it in a security deposit box. She would have put it in a bank vault, because she doesn't want to ever lose that. So therefore, it's very unlikely that he would have guessed that it was in her chafisa when she probably wouldn't keep it in her chafisa. And therefore, if it was in a chafisa and they each say it was in a chafisa, Mestami, he's the one that has it and not her. With this, we conclude today's shiur.